You're listening to The Plug with Neil Griffith.
Hey everybody, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of The Plug Podcast with me, Neil Griffiths. Hope you're doing well. Hope everything is well in your world. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you've decided to take 30 minutes or so out of your day to hang out with me. And for that, I am grateful. This week is another big episode. I'm so excited to release this week's episode. I'm joined by Ollie Sykes, the frontman of UK giants Bring Me The Horizon. The band have just released the song Strangers. It is the second to be released from the next series in the Posthuman EP series. The first one obviously came out in October 2020. A new one is coming. Ollie told me a bit about that. We also spoke about the crazy year Bring Me The Horizon have had so far. They've done a remix with Ed Sheeran. They've done a song with Machine Gun Kelly. They've done a song with Australian rapper Masked Wolf. And they are working on a bunch of this new music. We talk about if it's going to be the EP. Will it be an album? What happens there? I'm not sure. I do. You have to listen to find out. And also, we spoke about Bring Me The Horizon coming to Australia in December this year to headline the 2022 Good Things Festival. The festival is happening this year. They're going to be headlining and joined by the likes of Deftones, NOFX, TISM, The Amity Affliction, the list goes on. That'll be happening in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane this December, but it was a really interesting chat. So take a seat, sit down, relax. Here is Ollie Sykes on The Plug Podcast. Welcoming to The Plug Podcast, Mr. Ollie Sykes, frontman of Bring Me The Horizon. Ollie, thanks for coming on, man.
All right, mate. How's it going?
Look, I'm a bit frantic. Spoiler alert. It was a fucking nightmare getting on this call. It's entirely my fault as well. But thanks for your patience, man. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm sound. Cheers, mate.
Where are you right now?
I'm at home in Sheffield.
How's life?
Yeah, it's good, man. It's busy as well. Frantic, as you say.
Yeah.
A lot going on, but it's all good stuff. So,
yeah. Funnily enough, the last time we spoke was June 20th. I think Parasite Eve had just come out. And
I was
in Australia and we had just kicked off a second severe lockdown. I think England was in the same position or at least a similar boat.
Yeah, pretty much.
How's everything going now, man? I mean, fast forward, obviously, a couple of months later, you guys released the Survival Horror EP. You've just released a brand new single, Strangers, which fanboying out here, probably my favorite song you guys have done in a few years. It's nice to be out in the fucking world again, isn't it?
It is, man. It's good to be doing stuff. You know, I think we're all losing our minds a little, aren't we? So, and there was definitely even a time when it was starting to get going again, it didn't feel like quite real and like it was actually, it felt like we were just trying to kid ourselves, but things feel like they're getting back to normal now. I mean, COVID's still here, but no one seems to give a shit anymore, so that's good.
That's nice. It was cool listening to that last interview. It did feel kind of like hopeless, like we're kind of talking like, you know, we're in another lockdown. Maybe we'll be out soon. Maybe we won't. You can't really make plans. But here we are. You've released that EP, which was received so well by fans and critics. You've now got a couple more songs out. Does it feel like everything is getting back to normal? And like you've done even a couple of shows as well. So there's that too.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and the shows have been just fucking incredible. Like it's just, I think the one positive thing I can say about lockdown is just how much it makes you appreciate what you've got and like what you, I mean, for me anyway, for what I do for a living. And it's just so like the shows really hit differently when we came back and played them, and just like realizing how special we are, because you can get a little bit, I wouldn't say we took it for granted, but you know, sometimes you can get a little bit, you moan about just like sweat the small stuff, do you know what I mean? Like you got like, you know, traveling or being away from your family and stuff, which, you know, it is tough, don't get me wrong, but like, you know, then you realize really what you're doing it for and like, you know, how special it is. So it's been really like, these shows have all been fucking amazing. And I think kids are feeling the exact same way, because the shows have just been like the reactions have just been nuts. Like every show has just been like insane. It don't matter if we're playing a festival on a Sunday at like 12 a.m. It's like kids are still going absolutely crazy. So it's it just feels like everyone's just like realized how special it was. And then, you know, live events and stuff like that. So it's been great.
Has it been good to kind of step back and reassess and I guess put some sort of plans in place? Because again, referencing that last interview we did, again, June 2020, you said the spitballing plan, you even admitted like there was nothing set in stone, but you wanted to release 4 EPs in a year. Obviously, that didn't necessarily happen. Are there more concrete plans in place now? Was that awful 2020 kind of a blessing in disguise as far as you guys getting to sit back and go, okay, this is what we want to do. This is how we want to do it.
I mean, that's still the plan. It's just, I guess we're a little ambitious in, I mean, trying to get out a lot of records in a shorter space of time, especially now that we're back. You know what I mean? I think like in our heads, like when we were thinking about maybe getting more out sooner, we were like, well, this lockdown could last forever. And, you know, now we're back on road. It's just people want to see us live. So now it's like, we're just weighing up like what's more important. And I think as well, because the first one was received so well, we play like 6 out of 8 of the tracks live in our set.
Wow.
And so there's so much to play that we need to like it feels like if we put out too much music too soon, it's like, we don't know how we're going to play it all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're every available minute we have, we're writing, do you know what I mean? Every moment we're not on tour and we've got a couple of days downtime or whatever to get together and carry on working on it, we are. So it is coming, but it's definitely a lot slower than we intended. But it's all good. It'll come out someday.
It's so exciting being a Bring Me the Horizon fan, because when Ammo came out in 2019, I mean, people call it divisive, but divisive implies that people fucking hate it. I think the majority of fans loved it, but it obviously was different to what you guys did. Then again, referencing that chat we had in 2020, you were playing around with video game sounds, and that obviously came out in the EP. Strangers kind of feels like a cool blend of old Bring Me the Horizon and where this could pick off straight after Ammo. Do you think the next batch of songs will be in that similar tone, or are you just going to fuck that all over again and do a completely different sound?
I mean, off this next record, it's definitely, I guess, like emo and hardcore and a lot of the music that, like, I mean, in all honesty, like, it was new metal and kind of like that whole scene that got me into rock music in the first place. It got me into music, really, because I listened to music before that, but like I really fell in love with music when that whole scene broke out in the early 2000s.
Like the Limp Bizkits, the PODs.
Yeah, Linkin Park, you know, Linkin Park, the first band I ever saw, yeah, and all that stuff. But it was like Glassjaw with the band that like kind of introduced me to this like more niche, more, I guess, just, I don't know, like, I guess just harder edge to music and stuff like that, and a proper underground scene. Like, I think I saw Glassjaw and Siberian Kiss on a Roadrunner VHS, you know, I'd Slipknot and all that, but then it had this band Glassjaw, and I saw Daryl Plummer going absolutely insane on stage, and I'm like, wow, that's what I want to do as a job. And Glassjaw really got me into that whole world of like post-hardcore and emo and all that stuff, and I became obsessed with that. So this record is really, like, in its essence, like, is going to be paying homage to all those bands. Mm-hmm. Where I feel like the first record paid a bit of homage to the bands that got me into rock music. Second one's definitely going to be about the bands that, like, when I really got like a passion for, like, well, wanting to become a singer, going to shows and stuff like that. So there'll definitely be like that at its core. But also the record's going to be influenced by the more like progressive kind of alternative music that's going on at the moment, you know, like hyperpop and a lot of the electronic scene and like everything. So it's going to be a blend. And obviously I think that's why it's slow for us as well, because it's a difficult one to blend, because emo and all that stuff is like, it had its place and then it kind of just stopped. Do you know what I mean? So it's a very, it's easy for it to sound throwback. And that's like, we don't want it to sound throwback. We want it to sound nostalgic, but we also want it to sound like something fresh and something new. So it's like, the reason for the like stuff like hyperpop and stuff like that, it's like the scene just reminds me so much of like that MySpace scene that we grew up in, like kids making music independently in the bedrooms and just the most brash, outrageous sounds you can think of. You know what I mean? For me, like the way they treat music is the way we check music when we were just trying to make the most insane music to mosh to and just, you know, the most discordant, chuggy madness. It's like, I feel like there's a connection there. So it's like, we're trying to bridge those like two worlds without sounding like we're trying to be either of those worlds as well. So yeah, that's kind of where my head's at with that record.
Yeah. I feel like the pandemic brought out like a nostalgic feel for everyone when it comes to music, as far as the sounds they listen to, the sounds they want to listen to. An artist that you guys have worked with in the last couple of months, Machine Gun Kelly. He's kind of taken the pop punk genre and given it a whole new twist. I saw him actually at Madison Square Garden like 2 weeks ago, and it's a fucking great show. Working with an artist like MGK, is that what you mean when you say, you know, it's a nostalgic feel, but you need to obviously do your own thing with it? You can't just go and release a song that would sound like it came out in 2002.
Yeah, I mean, you can. People are doing it and they're getting away with it. But our record's called Post Humans, so it just feels like that. And there's kind of a theme with the records that, like, in terms of the story and the narrative of where each four of the records goes, it's the whole thing's meant to be a story, and the music's really important to like tell that story. Do you know what I mean? Which will make more sense when they all come out, because I don't want to say all and then it's not exactly how I intended it. But yeah, I think you're totally right with lockdown. I think people couldn't really look forward because of no one, this future was so uncertain. So everyone started looking backwards. And I think that's why like anything nostalgic kind of got massive again, because people were just like, well, let's just fucking dream about the past and stuff. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, I guess, Machine Gun Kelly, I think he, like I said it to him, and I think for a lack of a better word, he like almost paradises the pop punk genre in a fun way. Do you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Like the emo girl and stuff like that. It's like, they just sound like a funny take on like that whole world that was like absolutely massive in the 2000s. And, you know, some people might not like it, but some people absolutely love it because it's just gives them that fucking hit of like nostalgia it's also packaged in such a different way than it ever was that it's, I think in general, it's more inclusive. It's more free. It's more fluid. And I think that in itself is a reason to celebrate it. You know what I mean?
Coming up, the first Posthuman EP was released in October 2020. So when can we expect a new batch of songs? Ollie tells me all about it after the break. If you head over to Audio Technica's website right now, you can pick up their new ATH CK S50TW True Wireless in-ear headphones. These buds sound incredible with all types of music, they offer great noise cancelling, and have 20 hours of playback without even using the charging case. To get your hands on a pair, simply head on over to audiotechnica.com. That song you did with MGK, Maybe, was that something that you guys worked on together? Was that something that MGK brought to you? How did that come together?
We didn't have that much involvement in it, to be honest. I've met him a couple of times, and he said he were a big fan of the band, and he just said he wanted to work together, and we're like, that'd be cool. And he sent me a few songs, and that was my favourite one. We worked on it a little bit, but to be honest, it was pretty much done. I just added some vocals, wrote a middle eight for it, and that was pretty much it.
because again, listening to Posthuman and these last few songs that have come out in the last few months, obviously you did the cool remix of Bad Habits with Ed Sheeran. You had the MGK song. You've done a song with Australian rapper Masked Wolf. You've kept yourself busy and in pretty vastly different genres. I mean, obviously the main one being Bad Habits got picked up on the mainstream world and it's done so well and it sounds so fucking good. Has this been a point that you've made to just try and be as diverse as you can, or is this pure coincidence?
I'd say it's just things that have happened. And it's also me. I mean, in lockdown, I started doing a lot more collabs because a lot of great stuff were coming to me.
Sure.
And I had the time, and I started to, and I was, in all honesty, I was like quite addicted to the connection of just talking to new artists. I'd learned how to engineer my own vocals while doing Posthuman. So it was something I could do without having to bother Jordan too much. And I kind of got addicted to just having all these little projects going on, you know, because so little was going on in lockdown. And one of the things was, you know, you talked about ammo being divisive, and it was. And you know, at the time I thought, well, fuck you. Like, this is what we want to do. This is, you know, this is our creative, you know, it's up to us what we do and all this stuff. And then my view on it has softened a little bit over time in terms of like, I agree that there's some songs on that record where we don't even sound like a rock band. And I think our band will always, you know, push the boundaries, we'll do whatever, and we'll always experiment. But I think if we lose the fact that we're a rock band, that's where it's like, that's where I can understand, you know what I mean? And I think for me, I like rock is one of, these days, rock is one of the genres of music I listen to the least. I mean, probably actually a lot more in recent times because there's been so many bands and artists, but like straight up rock is not something like I go to first, you know what I mean? Like right. Alternative music, yeah. But like most of it's like electronic and just so many different. And I think sometimes I want to be these other artists that I listen to. And I lose sight that like we're Brim of the Horizon, we're a rock band, and there's not many of us left. Do you know what I mean?
What do you mean when you say you want to be like some of them? Like, do you have specifics?
No, just like I'll hear like a style of music or whatever and be like, I just want to sound like fucking this. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
And the problem is like that an artist already doing it way better than we could ever do it. And it's not going to translate that well live for us. And it's not. And there's all these reasons why we shouldn't do it. And I'm not saying like we need to stay in our own lane, but I guess it's like if you went to see a horror movie and you got there and it was actually a rom-com, you'd be like, what the fuck is this? It's not what I paid for. So these collabs are me getting to express myself in all these other ways that I know would piss our fans off if we actually did it, you know what I mean? Like getting to do like a straight up pop song or like even like a straight up hyper pop song with someone like Dane or like just all these little, and for me, it just gets that out of me where it's like, all right, I'm not going to inflict this on our band, on our fans now with our band, you know what I mean? And don't get me wrong, like everything I do, I'll probably take that and do things similar in our world. But at the end of the day, I've kind of started to appreciate that we are one of the last current mainstream rock bands. And we can do anything, we can experiment. And I'm so glad that we did, because I think the our Ammo album allowed us to go back and write an album like Posthuman without it feeling boring and old. Because I think if we just carried on writing albums like Semper Eternal, Posthuman wouldn't have felt as exciting and new as it did. And I also think because of Ammo, no one even batted an eyelid when we went and fucking did a song with Ed Sheeran. Like, yeah. We're a rock band. We shouldn't be able to get away with that. you know what I mean?
Totally. Like, if you think of bands, like, and I'm not. This is not trashing anyone at all. But like, say a band like Coldplay, who started off indie and progressively they got more electro pop. A band like 30 Seconds to Mars, You listen to those albums chronologically, that was rock. That last album was straight up dance. What you guys have done so fucking well is bring in those elements, but keep that rock sound. And, you know, that's what I was going to ask you. Does it piss you off when fans say, you know, when you started doing a lot more clean vocals in those earlier albums, and then you bring out an album like Ammo, and they say, well, now you've gone too dancey, and then Post-Human, you kind of brought back those heavy elements, and then they're saying you're going back to heavy. And I would probably say that Strangers is a little bit more stripped back. It's not as heavy. That might piss people off. Are you in a position now where you just don't give a fuck? Because you've been able to experiment with these different sounds and do it well, is it kind of just like, everyone just fucking relax, let us do it, and then judge it afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And I think you have to not give a fuck, because giving the fuck is where I've seen so many bands try and do a 360 and go back to what they did when they were at their biggest, and it never, ever works. Do you know what I mean? Because it's not in their heart. Do you know what I mean? And I think, you know, whatever you can say about us, we've always followed our heart, and we've always made the music we want to. We've never wrote a commercial album. We've never tried to do something that we thought we're going to get as bigger. We've just literally done what we wanted to do. And that's why we've gotten through it all, because it's genuine. It's not, we've never tried to write an album and go, all right, we've got some exposure here. What can we do that's going to get us, you know, that's going to get us to like the fucking top level? We've just never bothered. We've just always, you know, even like an album like Ammo, there might be some more commercially songs on it, but it's a fucking weird, collagey, long, like strange album that's just not at all had any kind of intention for it to stream well, or, you know what I mean? So it's like, we've never, and I think no matter how much people don't like certain songs we do or whatever, I think they always know that. And I think most of our fans and most people know now that, like, we're never going one way for too long anyway. Do you know what I mean? The next song we put out could be the poppiest song we've ever wrote, but that I think everyone knows that don't mean that we won't put out a fucking the heaviest song we've ever wrote after it either. Do you know what I mean? We don't care. Like, we don't care how big we get, we don't care what we do. It's never going to stop us from making the kind of music we want to, and wherever our heads are at and whatever we feel like doing. And there's times where I'm, you know, back listening to like death metal and black metal that I used to listen to when I was 16 and being like, I want to do something like this next. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, you've kind of not got to give a fuck. That's the most important thing.
Well, and like, because it's your fucking work as well. An album like Ammo, do you think in 50 years' time we'll look back at that and say that was an experimental album for Bringing the Horizon? Or do you think that will be one of like the main albums you would show a kid in 50 years' time, say, there's this band called Bring Me the Horizon, you need to listen to this? Do you think it'll stand the test of time, or do you think that was just where you were at in a period of time?
I mean, they're all where we were at in a period of time. I don't know. In all honesty, it's hard to say, because there's things I would change about that record, but there's things I fucking love about it, and like some of the songs I'm like, I can't believe he wrote them, so... But like, I think Semper Eternal for me is like the record that I would show people in 50 years' time, because I think it was the start of all this. Do you know what I mean? It was our career where we really knuckled down and went, let's make something like that will stand the test of time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was a thing that, like, I mean, every record was leading up to that record, but every record after it, like, began from there, really. So maybe Semper Eternal would be the one I would show people in 50 years, but that could change. I do have the thing about Ammo, I just think it's put us in a place where we can do absolutely anything now, and there's nothing we could, you know, bar making a song with a paedophile or something, there's nothing we could do that like we couldn't get away with now. So it's that's a really special album because of that. You know what I mean? Because I think there's no way we could have got away with doing a collab with Ed Sheeran or something like that if we hadn't put that record out.
For sure. But in the same breath, how, like, you would think that you probably couldn't get away with doing a progressive song that has dance elements with Danny fucking Filth in it either, and you did it.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah, it kind of leaves the door open for anything, and that for that I'm really grateful for, because that's a really hard thing to do in rock music, to get to a position where people allow you to do anything and not leave you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I know you've been saying in this interview that you know, for the next record, are we sticking to the 4 EP plan? Is the album dead? Are you even considering an album, or are we sticking to the 4 piece EP?
We're gonna deliver on what we promised. It's just gonna take as long as it takes. But yeah, definitely, because there's a whole story there. There's a whole message and meaning, and which takes more meaning every time I think about it. Even the first record, each song has these meanings that I didn't even realize that I was giving it as I was writing them. And so it's really important for me that we finish that. And like, I've got musically as well, where I want to take the next two after this is like, I'm really excited to make them, especially, but the last one as well. I think it's going to be really cool. So we definitely got to do it. This fucking second one's the hardest one, man. What it is about emo music.
When do you think it's coming?
But I don't know. We haven't got any. every song that we make and finish, we will give you as soon as possible.
Right.
Okay. So we don't have another song yet. Like,
oh wow.
We put Strangers out. We don't have another song. We've got fucking loads of demos. Like, I'm talking like some like near finished. Some, you know. Like probably at least 50 like actual just different ideas and demos knocking about, but we're just weird, even when we're writing Strangers, we were like, oh cool, but this isn't the next song people should hear. And then we got finished and went, wait a minute, this makes sense. But like we're like that, do you know what I mean? If it doesn't make sense, like, it, we won't, we'll shell, we'll bank it, and then we forget about it and stuff. So
yeah,
it's hard. We've just been doing festivals. We're back now. We're going to do some writing today. Today's the only day we've got. I've got so much on with Drop Dead and like other commitments, and then next week we're all going on. Everyone's having a holiday and stuff like that. So and then there's festivals after that. So the next real chunk of time we're going to get together is when we go on tour in America. And Jordan would just show me a bus he's found. It's got a big studio on the back of the bus.
Nice.
So that'll be good. That's like 6 weeks there. So like,
yeah,
there's a good chance we could really get a lot of it finished. So I would fucking love for it to come out this year for sure. Yeah.
It's wild that we've spent the last couple of minutes talking about, like, you know, you've never been a mainstream band. You got to please the fans, but you want to please yourself. But you're about to go out on tour and fucking headline Reading and Leeds. And then you're coming to Australia and headlining Good Things. Whether you've tried to appeal to the mainstream or not, you're headlining these gigantic festivals. So box ticked.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's fucking nuts. And it's one of the things that just happens. It's just happened. There was a point in my life where I was chasing that stuff a little bit. But the thing is, it's never been a goal, like, for our band to the headline festivals, not because we don't want to, but we just, you know, I mean, think about our band like 10 years ago, there's no way anyone would have looked at it and go, they're the next headline, you know, they're the next headliners for festivals and shit like that. Might have said, yeah, they're a good band and they've got a promising future, but I don't know, just, we never thought it. We just didn't think what we were doing would ever appeal to so many people. So it's never been a goal. And then there was a point where we started to get bigger around, you know, after That's the Spirit and around Emma, where people started talking about it. And I think I did, and a couple of other people in the band, you know, got not obsessive about it, but you're trying to chase it a little bit. And then I think I became completely detached from it in terms of all live stuff and all that stuff. Just stop worrying about like where you are on a bill or what festivals you play in or how big your name is or all that stuff. I've just let go of it all. Now it's happened and it's really bizarre. And I think you have to be detached from the goal. You have to have a goal and then get detached from it. And then it happens. You know what I mean? I think that's, and I just can't believe it. But I'm still a bit like, this is nuts. To the point where you don't really soak it in. It won't be until I'm on that stage in Australia or Mayo Leeds where I'm like, wow, this is fucking bonkers.
It's wild. It's like 100,000 people.
In Australia?
No, Reading and Leeds, I mean. Good Things. Good Things is still my favorite Australian festival because I know you guys are meant to be here in 2020 as well. So yeah. It'll be so good to have you guys back in the country.
Oh, man, it's going to be nuts. Last year was amazing. But yeah, I mean, obviously I'm half Australian, so it's the guys got a special place in my heart. So yeah, it's kind of wild. And especially because it's one of the first places that are giving us that opportunity as well. Mm. So that's, you know, England and Australia are going to be the, you know, first places where we're getting to do that proper headline.
It's really exciting, man. I cannot wait to see you back down here playing these shows and can't wait to hear new music whenever that may come. Ollie, thanks so much for coming on the podcast, man. I really appreciate it.
Anytime, dude.
We'll talk soon, dude.
See you later, man.
This episode is proudly sponsored by Audio-Technica Australia. Subscribe, rate, and review The Plug on your preferred podcast platform. And follow us on Instagram and YouTube at The Plug with Neil Griffiths and on TikTok at theplug.podcast to stay up to date with episode releases and giveaways.